Number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you all for being a part of the morning crossfire from 5 a.m. that we started on the show this morning to this very moment. We have much more for you this morning, because after the show at 9, Daily Digest is coming up, followed by What's Up Lagos with Marianne. And, of course, Joyce will be here after the news with The Sunny Side. And Sandra, of course, has a great, great, great show for you later on Hard Facts this evening. So it's back-to-back conversation here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Well, it's Health Thursday, and as we always do on Health Thursday, we basically just touch on some health issues. It could be health, it could be health-related. As long as health is there, somewhere there, we'll talk about them. Here on Health Thursday, every Thursday on Nigeria Info's Morning Crossfire, I am Sheriff Quadri. And it's nice to meet you if you're tuning in for the very first time. Report shows Nigeria's primary healthcare system is as good as non-existent in most parts of the country. And where they pretend to exist, especially in urban centers, the services are poor. The services are even further crippled by lack of the basic equipment and the required manpower. Even health authorities have also admitted that these facilities are in deplorable state. The health minister, Osagie Hanire, in 2021... reportedly said, and I quote, government is working on a new design to remodel these PHCs as primary healthcare centers and make them state-of-the-art, state-of-the-art health facilities all across the country. 2021 data from the National Health Management Information System, NHMIS, showed that outpatient visit dropped from 4 million to about 2 million. Antenatal visit dropped from 1.3 million to 655,000. Skilled birth attendance from 158,374 to less than 99,000, while immunization services reduced to about half of what we used to have. I think there's a lot of data that I've got here, but that's why I have experts on the show this morning that would shed more light to this conversation. It's an all-important conversation, really. Dr. Alero Roberts is here, Second Vice Chairman, Association of Public Health Physicians of Nigeria, Lagos Chapter. Dr. Roberts, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us again.
Morning, Sheriff. It's nice to be back. I must correct something. I am the immediate past.
Immediate past?
Yes. I've handed over to...
Election.
Yes, election. And ours was free, fair, and completely devoid of rancor.
No magu-magu.
None at all.
Dr. Oladokun Asiobi is joining us virtually. Dr. Asiobi, morning to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Welcome. And Happy New Year to Nigerians.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too. Now,
gentlemen,
sorry about that. Let's begin. Dr. Roberts, you heard the numbers.
And my mouth was agape, Sheriff. I hadn't even realized it was quite that bad. Yeah. I know we took a hit during COVID, but those numbers are deplorable.
Yeah.
Dr. Asiobi, good morning. One of my favorite guys.
Well, let's drill down on these numbers, right? Because they are, to a lot of people, they are just numbers. Now, to you, the physicians, what is the translation of these numbers to what is happening on the ground? How can you connect them? I mean, what's the reality?
I think, Dr. Asiobi, I would like you to weigh in on this, but the reality for, I wouldn't just say physicians, I would say for public health professionals, is that a lot of people do not have access to basic health care. And when I think of some of the questions that people ask me, and some of the things they need me to enlighten them on, I get really anxious that people who I would think should have this information or should have access to this service are asking but the simplest questions, and for not getting the answers are suffering a whole lot more than they need to. And I think of the number of children who have fevers, who are being put on inappropriate treatment because people are self-medicating, because they won't go to that healthcare center literally just two doors away from them.
Dr. Asiobi, weighing on this, please.
Okay. The data you just shared, I don't know if it talks about only the public primary healthcare system.
This is just the public data, right?
This is just the public.
That's right.
Okay, good. So, primary health care is a system. It's not just about the clinic alone.
Hmm.
That's one. Two, primary care is not just about the public alone.
Hmm.
So, if you walk into a facility and you receive a service that is basic,
okay,
you have received primary health care service.
Hmm.
So I'll give you an example. If somebody goes to Lagos University Teaching Hospital, right?
Right.
And they get immunization. In the community health clinic of Luth, where they train public health physicians, that person has received a primary health care service. So the data you either downloaded or were given is only talking about those in the primary health care centers, not just all the services.
Right.
So if somebody is doing a proper PHC review, we will not just be reviewing only those who go to the primary health care centers.
Mm-hmm.
We will review all those who receive primary health care level services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because most people don't even look at the difference at the level of clinic type. They just want to receive service. So somebody has diarrhea, can walk into Lutz, he can walk into Lasut, he can walk into a general hospital and get the diarrhea treated.
Mm.
Even though he would have gotten it treated quicker, faster, and closer at the primary healthcare clinic. So, first thing, like Dr. Robert says, Nigerians don't even know where these services can be received closer to them.
Mm.
That's number one. If I'm going to ask you, Sheriff, if I ask you to tell me two primary health care centers close to you, where you live, you may not know.
I know one here. It's just here by the local government. It's very
exactly,
close.
But not many people on your street go there for service.
Hmm.
Why? Because there is this perception that those who work in the primary health care clinics, public, are less skilled. Let me put it that way. They are less skilled. However, this is how war works. There are doctors in the primary care clinics in some states, right? These doctors graduated from the same medical schools that doctors in general hospitals, that doctors in teaching hospitals graduated from. Now, people choose or get to work where either fit or providence puts them. It doesn't make that doctor less careful.
Mm.
It doesn't make the midwife in the primary care clinic less careful than those in maybe a care house or Lagos Island maternity. The child that will be delivered at the primary care clinic, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll breathe, we'll leave the same way as those that will be delivered at.
But Dr. Shebi, where do you think that sentiment start from? Where do you think it started? I mean, I personally wouldn't have thought that, you know, people share such sentiment that a doctor in the primary health center, you know, a doctor in tertiary may be better or more skilled than a doctor. I mean, I know doctors are doctors, and I know that they are all trained. But that means that sentiment started somewhere. And what could have precipitated into people sharing such a sentiment?
Okay, so what people want to see and what people see and what people experience could be the reason. Let me give you an example. Let me paint that scenario for. So if you go into a general hospital, you see very big buildings and people handling like 300 types of equipment. You see many health workers. So that gives you a sense of security. Yes, there are many here, and then you listen. But the truth of the matter is all you need is the service and the person who is skilled. Now, because you hear is teaching hospital, is specialist hospital, do you think the problem you took there must be handled by a specialist? Funny enough, most times when you go to the general or the teaching hospital, you will not be seen by the professor.
Hmm.
You'll be seen by a medical officer, just like you see in the primary healthcare. But the perception that it's a specialist hospital make people think their problem is special.
Hmm.
Irregular pregnancy is a regular pregnancy.
Hmm.
Malaria is a regular malaria. What makes the care different is if you have complications. And majority of people do not have complications. That's one. Two, over the years, because there has been neglect of the primary healthcare system in funding and in focus, right? We've moved away from where we should put our resources.
Okay.
And so if you look at the funding for the different level of health system, you'll find out that the primary healthcare system has received the least. However, I keep saying that is the public. People who go to private hospitals to receive primary healthcare service. So that is also factored into it. So if you go to a private hospital and you are treated for basic things, you don't need surgery, you have actually received a primary healthcare service. So if you look at it that way, I feel that that data is just limiting the service to the public. And that is not the only place you receive primary healthcare service.
Right. Dr. Ashiabi, thank you. Dr. Roberts, let me come to you. And I want to pivot from what Dr. Ashiabi said about people, the reason why they go to big hospitals and all of that to access care. What could be the other, apart from what they see and their perception about the kind of person that they'll meet there, the kind of people that they'll meet there, what could have been the other reasons why people would rather they travel kilometers away to go to tertiary facility, whereas there is one just two doors away from them?
Let's be honest. Sickness and disease does not follow office hours, nor does it respect weekends or weekdays. So if 90% of the times you will hear the story, the person who has taken ill or the child who has taken ill is going to happen, or the mother, the pregnant woman who's going into labor, is going to happen in the middle of the night and on the weekend. And of course, the perception then is that, oh, the primary healthcare clinic next to me is not going to be open. Most and generally, that is true. There are a few comprehensive primary healthcare centers that run 24-hour services, but they are not generally the ones that are two doors away from you. I mean, you could be living next door to one, true, but they are a bit further away. So the perception is that I need help now, where am I going to go? And you go straight to the top. You go straight to a teaching hospital or a big general hospital because you know that, well, that is definitely running a 24-hour service. And you'll go through accident and emergency. That's the usual pattern because at that time, the decision-making dynamics within the house is that we need help fast, where do we go? And that's what happens. And so then when it, like Dr. Ashiabi said, malaria is malaria, it's not a big deal. But if it's a malaria that the fever is so high that the family members are panicking, or in a child, particularly in a child, you know, and the family members are panicking, it's like this is not an ordinary malaria. Far be it that our own malaria is an ordinary malaria with the fever this high. No. So that panic situation now drives them straight to the top. Then you have to think of the... So that boils down to what I call the access to healthcare. And part of it, like you said, so far as the word health is inside, we talk about it.
That's right.
Is access to health literacy. You know, a lot of people don't know what to do. So a child has a fever and then goes into a febrile-induced seizure. Oh boy, now you've got panic stations at stratospheric levels.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, a lot of mothers, family members do not know what to do when a child is having a fever-induced seizure. And I'm not here to teach first aid, so I'm not going to go into that. You want to find out, Google it, you know. But knowing what to do, even when the child first starts showing signs of a fever, the person first starts, what do you do the minute there's that first departure from perfect health? People have to have a plan. And the plan is not, God forbid, that's not my portion. People need to sit down and start making their plans. So as Dr. Ashiabi said, thank you, Dr. Ashiabi, those numbers are probably disaggregated just to the public primary health care clinics.
Right.
But does not cover the entirety of primary health care, which is that place where you go, that first point of contact with the health service. And it may be your GP, it may be your neighbor who happens to be a nurse, a well-trained nurse or doctor. It may be the private clinic near you. It may be the chemist shop, you know, so long as the question is, are they delivering appropriate care? Are you getting appropriate care? And how affordable is it? Is it? Have I gone to the next level?
I'm going to stick with you, Dr. Robert. Dr. Ashiabi, please listen to this question as well, because I'd like to get your thought as well. And that is about funding of the primary health care. centers. Quite a number of people would also say that the reason they don't go to the health center in their neighborhood is because they hardly meet anybody there. And when they go, they end up buying everything themselves. When they go, there are no running water, no power, nothing to show for it. And doctors don't even come because those things that would make their work easier are not there available. How would you assess the funding at this level?
Well, I've often said, and we all know, the primary health care as a service, like primary education, is being handled by the weakest arm of government, local government. Lagos State is an exception, and maybe a few other states as well, but Lagos State, we happen to know, is an exception because somehow our state government has taken over primary health care, primary education, and so on. But where that is the situation, where the weakest arm of government is now in charge of primary, whether health or education, you will find that funding is at best inadequate. And again, you've got to look at it from a business point of view. Health, primary health and primary education are not sexy. You know, you don't get those big returns on investment that are immediately measurable.
Right.
You know, how do you measure the number of women that have a safe pregnancy and a safe delivery? That's what's to be expected. We only start measuring when we say, the woman died. Oh, then it becomes a measurable metric. No. And so that's what makes it unattractive, quote unquote, to the funding agencies. If they, if you want to do something, you're there for a limited period of time as the local government chairman or whatever. You want to do something. You want a legacy. You want your name to be remembered. You're going to do a white elephant project, a white ribbon project. You know, something where you're going to cut a ribbon, where you're going to bring the media and so on and so forth. Your name is going to be attached to it. You know, there's going to be a hall that is named after you and whatnot. The day-to-day running of a primary health care center and what it entails is not attractive business-wise. So when they make those requisitions for the normal supply of normal drugs and whatnot, there's no extra money to be made. It's not. So it makes it very difficult. But Dr. Asheyombi, I know you have personal experience of this, so I'm going to defer to you.
Let's hear you, Dr. Asheyombi.
Thank you very much. So when it comes to funding, funding has to be what drives the supply of the system, of the service. And that is, what do you put in for the facilities, the drugs, the human resource, the equipment, right? Because if those, if that supply is not available, then there is nothing people can get. So if you look at the budget of the nation, right?
Right.
For over 40% goes to the federal, about 20 to the, another 20 or so to the local government. Now, the local governments are 774. So if you now divide that 20 by 774, you know what we get trickled down. Now, that impinges on what is even available and distributable at that level. The second thing is, even if you look at the health budget itself, most of it is spent at the tertiary and at the secondary level, which together will take up like 20 to 30% of the health problems of the people. The level that will take care of 70% of the problem of the people will get 30%. So it's like standing a pyramid on his head, and it will tilt, it will not be stable. Now, that is on the demand. So the human resource is not enough. Like Dr. Robert mentioned, so if one out of six primary health care centers now open 24 hours, 7 days a week, one out of six, what it means is most people will not access very critical time and to do with the resource you put in. The second is affordability and what the people have ability to pay.
Right.
And in Nigeria, 70% of the health expenditure is from people paying from their pockets. Now, a nation that has about 40 to 50% of the people living on 30,000 naira per month, right? It's going to be hard for them to be able to afford to pay for health services. And therefore, there is the need to ensure that people have health protection by giving them a social health insurance. Now, how do you drive that? The people are already poor, so they can't pay for it. There has to be a mechanism where the people are paid for, and they know that when they get there to receive the health service, they don't need to pay for it from their pocket immediately. So that's the reason why we now have the Basic Healthcare Provision Fund that sets aside 1% of Nigeria's consolidated revenue for primary healthcare. And half of that money goes into providing free health insurance cover for the vulnerable. Now, the challenge is, I'm not even sure many Nigerians know that this 40% that are poor can be covered for health service at the primary healthcare centers with government fund.
Right, right.
So people can, if people know more, they know what to demand.
You know,
so that's a big challenge that we will need the press to help us to get the story out there.
Dr. Ashinyabi, would come back to educating people on how to access healthcare at that level. Let's step out. Let's take a quick break, yeah? When we return, we'll talk some more. Lagos, do join us again, please. We'll be back.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this.
Papa, mama.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, welcome back to the Crossfire Health. Thursday is the show you're listening to this morning. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Dr. Roberts is here. Dr. Ashinyabi is virtual joining us. You can watch everybody on Facebook and on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 so you can be able to watch. And drop your thoughts as well. We'd like to hear from you. If you've got one or two things to say about the PHC in your neighborhood, let's know how well they are performing. Let's know your experience the last time you visited, and would be able to say one or two things to that. Thank you all for being a part of it. And also, you can we'll take some calls to hear from you as well in a moment. But it's just that we have other areas of our conversation this morning that we'd like to touch on. Dr. Ashinyabi, let me start with you this morning. Now, we've talked extensively about PHCs. We talked about, you know, funding to some extent. We may not be able to even exhaust funding if we were to go into it, you know, completely. But you mentioned the 1% of money that people don't have enough knowledge about, that they are covered. Now, if you open up the telephone lines right now, Dr. Ashinyabi, you will still hear people that would say that the last time they visited the PHC, they paid for their drugs. Now, how are they supposed to even believe that there is one funding that's covering health services at that level?
Thank you very much. I made the distinction that that 1% is not the whole 1%. It's 50% of that 1%. One. Two, it is to cover the most vulnerable. So it will not cover you. It will not cover Dr. Roberts. It will not cover me. Because we're not amongst those who are the most vulnerable. However, two distinct groups are covered. One, all pregnant women. Two, all children under 5. Three, people who are above 65 years old, the elderly. So all these ones are covered irrespective of your status, generally. So why? It is because of data. We need to reduce our maternal mortality. So we don't want our pregnant women paying for those services. We need to reduce our child mortality. So we don't want our children to, we don't want parents to, who don't have money or for any reason, not be able to care for their children. So those two groups are a force of this percent. So it's not everybody, but those who fall into this bracket, the most vulnerable, and I've mentioned two groups, and the poorest of the poor. Now, if you ask every Nigerian will tell you that they are poor. But we know that's not true, right?
Right.
So, like Dr. Robert said, the access to health planning and data is there for you to know those who are poor or poor, because when you assess their living conditions, you will know. Hmm. So you cannot be living in the Atlantic or in I just say Adeo, but you come and tell me that you are poorest of the poor. If you come to the PAC in just beside you. So this grade of people are already covered, and these are the ones that if they come, they will be attended. However, it is not come, then attend and go. No, that's not how it is. They need to be registered under that insurance cover. So they become a known individual. Not every time I'm ill, I just walk into anywhere. No. We need to know you. You need to have an identity under that system to be cared for. You understand what I mean? So that is what happens. That is how it happens.
Right.
That is the finance for the basic healthcare. And that is nationwide. Now, there are states who also have their own state-level health insurance, and they have similar cover for vulnerable. Different states, Lagos State, Ogun State, Ekiti State, different states. So there's one that the federal fund is covering, there's one that the state fund is covering.
Right.
However, people need to know that they need to go to the primary health care and get registered and assessed. And if they fall under that category, but like I said, all pregnant women and all children under 5 are already covered. So if those ones come, they will be uploaded into that system,
right,
and they will be cared for until they don't need that care again. For example, if a pregnant woman is covered, the moment she delivers and she's not the one, the most vulnerable, she's out of that cover for that exactly. But children till they are 5 years old, they're covered. So that is one of the things that happen. I also need to mention that there is need to ensure that there is enough resources focus on the primary health care. If you do not have enough personnel, if you do not have enough equipment, there's no way you can provide round-the-clock care. If a PAC has 7 or 8 or 10 staff who also have a right to a life, they can't be on duty 24 hours a day. They have to have time for leave. So it's not going to happen. And therefore, there should be a concerted effort. However, the challenge is not only wanting to employ. The challenge is even the production line is not enough. So, some states that have, let me use Lagos for example. Lagos State has about 300 primary health care centers. If you want a doctor in each, that means you must employ a minimum of 300 times 3 for you to have a doctor there 24 hours for the 300, right? Even the medical schools cannot produce that number of doctors. So there's a challenge with production.
Okay.
And we must focus on increasing production of healthcare workers, nurses, community health laboratories. So the production is also not enough. Now, to now worsen that, we are now having health worker brain drain. So you produce less than 40% of what you need.
Right.
Another 10 to 15% of them elope after you have trained them. And so that's a double job. So it's not just about not wanting to employ. The second aspect is there are not even enough of them to employ as we speak. And so that is a strategic investment in health. That is not about the people. That is about a nation sitting down to say, we have this gap. How do we fill it?
Let me come to Doctor. Let me come to Doctor Roberts on this one. I mean, you've hit the cord, Doctor Roberts. Remember the last time we spoke about, you know, brain drain and how health officials are going. Now we're back here again. That even if we want to make the primary healthcare centers functioning, and optimally functional, we need more hands. And now we can't get more hands.
We can get more hands. We have trained these people, the doctors, the nurses, the biomedical engineers. I'm going to keep harping on that because if your equipment doesn't work, I saw your young engineer come in and do one or two things very quickly. And I'm thinking, I hope he's got a passport and visa. You know, we have trained them. The point now that we need the kind of leadership that will bring confidence back to those who have left to look homeward again. Because we're going to have to import all the help that we need. And there's a big difference between paying a foreigner and paying a diasporan Nigerian. You know, so a lot of them, they actually want to be home. They'd much rather be here, be part of their families. Because, I mean, think about it. If you were to leave now, yeah, you might make a lot more money. But, you know, cousin so-and-so and auntie that and the other and uncle so, you don't get to be part of that. This is what my daughter who is there keeps regretting. Every time we have a family function and she sees all the fun we're all having, she realizes how much she wants to be back. And this is the story I'm sure a lot of Nigerians out there would rather be here if they can provide. So what we need now is the kind of leadership that will give, that will provide the governance that builds that confidence back. And we, because there's no way, Dr. Shelby is right, there's no way the medical schools we have now, and for medical schools, we're thinking doctors, nurses, medical lab technicians, pharmacists, physiotherapists, biomedical engineers, we cannot produce what the country needs. And we've had the two strikes in the educational sector in the last 3 years, which means that we have actually put major blocks in the production line. So there's no way we can produce it. We are going to have to import it. And we have to have the kind of atmosphere, the kind of landscape that will encourage them to come back.
I want to talk to you about the primary health care centers in Lagos. I'm hearing a lot about health access to primary health care in Lagos, but we'll talk about that. Let's take some thoughts from the telephone, off of the lines that we have. If you're listening right now, you'd like to share a thought or two on our topic this morning, feel free to call our lines 01-277-0993. 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Or just call the smart number 0700-993-993-993. And we got a line for, especially for female callers, and that's 01-465-7190. That's for female callers and female callers only. It's 01-465-7190. And please, when you call, go straight to the point, please. Thank you. Would appreciate that. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sherry.
Morning, sir.
Good morning to your guest.
Morning, how are you?
Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. When the other doctor, the male doctor, was saying something about the stratification of who is actually eligible to get the services or access to health the services, I wanted to know, or my curiosity is on the fact, is it on the primary unit healthcare system, as in the one very close to the community.
Primary healthcare.
Or is it at the level of like specialist hospitals, like a university teaching hospital? Because why I ask the question is, when you think of who actually gets it, there was something that touched me during the time I was going for treatment of the surgery. There was this guy, he looks so impoverished. Most of the times he was begging for money to buy gauze for him to get his wound. I don't know if it's cancer or something on his legs. This guy was so impoverished. Most times I would be touched to give him money to get gauze or to buy this thing, spirit,
what
to
he needs,
and dress his wound. So what I really want to know, is it like a healthcare center? Is it, where is the stratification? Is it at the primary level?
I get your point.
Thank you very much.
My name is Igwe
Victor.
Thank you. Dr. Roberts, you'd like to?
That would be at the primary care level.
Okay.
So the vulnerable people who are classified as orphaned or vulnerable, who are covered under this, the under fives, all pregnant women, the elderly, and people also classified as orphaned and vulnerable, need to be registered at the primary healthcare clinic nearest to them. And because that's where we will assess them, we'll do a means testing and assess their eligibility. And then they can get access to healthcare, yes.
All right.
It's not at the teaching hospital, sorry.
Okay, all right. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, please.
Yeah, my name is Anthony. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Welcome, Anthony.
So thank you for this conversation. But my concern, or what I want to advocate for, is The government really understand the need for primary health care and how essential it is to the very to the people at the very bottom of the ladder. And I say this because, let me use Lagos for example. I live in Lagos.
Okay.
You might say the government is active, but it seems the government is interested in these big structures, you know, new general hospital and all these building big, big, big hospitals everywhere. Yeah.
That they will commission with balloons and yes, big crowd and
exactly.
Yeah.
You took that out of my mouth. And then, what about the health center in that small street somewhere in Badagry? Are you not interested in it? But if they were really concerned about the people, they would be really, really focused on ensuring that there is a strong system of health, primary health care system. It could even be a way of building it close to the primary schools.
Right.
And you have a way of, you streamline the operations in a way that the children, the very vulnerable people are taken care of. I mean, we can have this conversation on and on, but is the government really interested?
Right.
This is just my thoughts. Thank you.
Good question, Anthony. And we'll come to it. It's just our days on the Jide is on the line. We'll speak with Jide, then we'll take Anthony and Jide together. Jide, hi.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning to you.
This is an interesting conversation, and I just want to make a comment or ask a question that I think that should prick our mind as a people in general. Now, the doctor mentioned that our schools currently cannot produce.
Jide, for some reason, you're not clear. Are you using hands-free? Jide, can you hear me? He can't hear me.
I live in the country. Now, the question is directly similar to Jide. This system that provides or subsidizes training for our medical workers, how do we pay back this system when the people that we train leave the country? I think generally we need to have that conversation with the people.
That all right.
When you subsidize training from Nigeria, there should be some years of service you provide to that system that before you can leave. And of course, there should be incentives also for them to stay. But really, we can keep training workers and subsidize costs, taxpayers' money, and then 2 years after they're gone. But
you're
just training workers for other countries to use. Well, it's not.
All right, Jide.
You need a lot more workers.
That's noted, Jide. Thank you. Thank you for the thought. I appreciate it. How do you want to share this, Dr. Shinobi and Dr. Roberts? Where do we go? Where do we start from? We start from Anthony's thoughts.
Dr. Shinobi, answer Anthony on the, is government interested in PHC? Because you are right at the coalface there.
Yeah.
Government is interested at the PHC. Government is interested in everything. And so when you, it's now, how do you prioritize it in a way that the impact will flow? So because we run a system where we do allocation of resources by budgeting, right? And so there are many competing needs. Unfortunately, even in that allocation of competing needs, like this day, if you look at the federal budget, you see health is the third most funded. However, the challenge is in that whole amount allocated to health, I think about 1.6 trillion.
About that, right.
Yes. So the next thing is, if you go into the details of that 1 trillion, the primary health care will get less than 30%. Like I said, any pyramid that is standing on its head will tilt. So where do you want to prioritize? That's one. Now, for primary care, it's not just a federal thing. Like Dr. Roberts said, the weakest part of our tier of government is started with the most important part of our responsibility and impact. So we need to look at that too, because irrespective of how much you want, you cannot do beyond what your capacity can provide. So even at that same level, if you look at their budget, less than 4% of a local government budget goes for health, usually less than 5%. And there's no way that will make the impact
you
we
can
want
make any
to
meaningful
make.
Impact.
So we need to be deliberate to ensure that we have a dedicated funding stream. And that is why we talk about that social health insurance. Because if people pay premium, it will not go into a general local government budget. It will be, I have paid, look at it like your car premium.
you pay 5,000 and now it's 15,000, that money cannot be taken to another sector. It will strictly be left for the transport sector when you have an accident.
Right.
So that is why a dedicated funding stream that is ring fenced against vagaries of government decision and which party or which person comes to power.
Dr. Shabi, let me quickly hear Dr. Roberts on the Anthony's concern, or is it Jide now? I think that's Anthony.
On subsidized, right? Anthony
that's,
was
that's
interested.
Jide.
Yeah. So Jide was talking about, you know,
subsidized training
for medical health workers, and yes, that is an ongoing conversation, Jide, because we do know that the cost of our education is highly subsidized, and even when we mention adding even one naira on top of it, you know, we get such a backlash. But the point is that having subsidized that training, what is the benefit the country is getting? Now, this unfortunately boils back to government again, because if you don't track your investment, because you see, they give out this money or they don't charge this money, but they don't track the investment, so they can't monitor the return on investment. In order for you to get a return on investment in training these health workers, you need to provide employment. With employment, you need to provide remuneration, you need to provide accommodation, you need to provide schools for their children, you need to provide recreational facilities, you need to provide them with health care. Now, when you get a conversation with a registrar in training who tells you that, ma'am, I'm very sorry, I'm not going to continue with this training. This January, the cost of school fees for my two children is almost double what it'll cost me to carry my entire family to Canada, where there's a job waiting for me and free education for the children. How do you tell them to stay back? How do you tell them they owe the government money for their subsidized training? Because the government isn't providing that education for their children. Or another one comes to tell you that, ma'am, I'm educated in this and that, the other school. Guess what? I cannot afford the fees in this, that, the other school for my children. The school that my parents could send me to. I need to get out of here. How do you
convince such a person to stay back?
Or you get to somebody who graduated medical school 2 years prior and hasn't found a placement to do house job. How do you convince such a person that, okay, so he goes into private sector and does his house job and, of course, gets sucked out of the system and is abroad. So, you know, the government has to be able to close that loop entirely.
Right.
And that's what it's not doing.
I wanted to say unfortunately, but let's just say, sadly, we have to end it here. I was hoping that we'll be able to touch on some other areas, especially PACs in Lagos, but we have to go. Stay here. We'll be back in a moment to sign off completely on the show. Dr. Shabi, please stay on the line. Dr. Robert, please stay with me. But we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Wait. Yeah. You eating?
No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good. And finally.
We should be patient and pray that God is going to answer our prayer.
Yes, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's about finding happiness in your home. Look, pray.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Thanks.